I know that you have always manifested a great interest in the relationship between consciousness and brain, and to me also this is a fascinating area. Science has evolved a lot in this regard. 10 or 15 years ago, consciousness was a dirty word. Today, there are conferences on the topic and many people trying to work on it. I think there are two important reasons why this is so, Your Holiness. One is that there are new non-invasive methods to work with humans, and the second is the renewed openness in the scientific study of consciousness. Francisco continued, "This renewed interest in the study of consciousness is not obvious from outside this funny thing we call scientific culture, but it is becoming more and more clear that there is tremendous value in bringing back data from the first-person method. This means that you take into account your subjective experience. Some people might call this lived experience or phenomenology or the personal level." To illustrate his point about the need for first-person data in neuroscience, Francisco said, for example, you might tell a person, close your eyes and imagine that you're drawing a map from here down the path to our hotel and then on to Dharamsala. In such tasks, the visual cortex is not very active during imagination, while of course it would be active if you drew the map you had imagined. There are also individual differences in brain function. For the same task, about half of the population has the visual cortex active and the other half does not. This is evidence in answer to your question this morning of whether brain patterns are the same for all people. In fact, it seems that personal style in visualizing could result in very different patterns of activation. The only way to truly understand what's going on is to ask people for a precise report of what they are doing mentally while their brain activity is being measured. Without the first-person data in such studies, then, neuroscience is half-blind. For example, when anger arises, there is a refractory period where you just have time to catch the anger arising and try to suppress the action that will follow. It follows that you need to understand very precisely the dynamics of the emergence of that state. You need to understand in great detail a moment of experience. How does a moment of consciousness, a moment of cognitive activity, a perception, or an emotion actually arise? Another key point, Francisco continued, is that this work, which is still very young and developing, makes it obvious that you just cannot have people do first-person observation without measuring the degree of training they have. Being able to walk into a garden and see the plants doesn't make one into a botanist. That requires training. So Francisco proposed a corrective to this problem, using objective methods, what he called second- and third-person methods, to corroborate first-person reports. The first person is the one having the experience. The second person is a highly trained interviewer. The third person refers to the objective measurements science applies. The basic idea is to combine first-person method, which requires training, with the empirical third-person approach, which is neuroscience as we know it. This idea intrigued His Holiness, who saw that meditation practitioners might be just the kind of people needed.